Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Guys, we're starting in the middle of some laughter. Welcome to the show. It's the U Up podcast coming at you live from my apartment in New York City. One of the last ones from this apartment because I'm moving. And but I'm here on a Monday night. The podcast is coming out late. This will probably be out Tuesday Eve, midday. And I was on the road, just got back today about an hour and a half ago. And I am here with Andrew Collin, as always. Yeah. Not as always, but not you're here always, most of the time.
Probably 80%.
Yeah, 80% of the pods you're on.
Or 65.
Yeah. We were on the road this weekend. We just got back from Vegas today. We left in the morning. We arrived in the evening here in New York. We missed an entire day.
We were in freaking Tulsa in Oklahoma. I never thought I'd be in Oklahoma.
On Saturday night we were in Tulsa, and Sunday night we were in Vegas.
We did two casinos, two very different casinos.
Very different. Buffalo Run in Oklahoma. Let me just welcome our third guest, just to welcome her in.
Yeah, let's let her in.
She's been on the podcast before, but we didn't really get to talk to her because the podcast, I think maybe we aired like, no, we didn't have one that week. I think we just skipped it because I fucked it up, or I forget what we did that week. But we had an entire podcast with my next guest who's been on the show before. She's been on the podcast before. She is truly one of my best friends. I've known her for many, many years. She is the apple of my eye of 2019. Aww. We became very close. And she is a very talented model and actress and dancer. It's Saralina Prozel, everyone.
Aw. Hi, everybody.
Saralina
NYC,
if you want to follow her. Yeah. I don't know why I've never said that to anyone, but you were like my...
The apple of the eye. Yeah. I like it.
Thanks, girl.
I like pears. You're the pear of mine.
Is that because I have a pear-shaped body? Is that what you're saying?
No, almond-shaped eyes.
Oh, thank you. I'm the almond
athletic
of your eye?
Athletic build body.
You're a pair of pears.
You're the pair of my eye. Pair of my eye? Can I say that?
Yeah, you can do that.
I think it's better to have a pear body than an apple body, but whatever.
I think so, too. I never even understood those. Like, I don't know what body I am.
That's why I said like a athletic. Well, what's weird is there's a pear, apple, and then there's athletic build. No, I think I might be making this up.
No, there's got to be another fruit in there.
Banana body?
Banana. You got a great banana bomb.
If you had to have a fruit body, what would you want?
Oh,
like,
oh,
it's
that's
hard
a
because
good
an
one.
Apple doesn't. The only one that really looks like a banana, actually. Well, if you had no arms and legs, but none of them have actually arms or legs. But a pear looks like a body. An apple,
carrot's good. A turnip.
A ginger. You know, a lot of few extra limbs.
But
then wait,
a carrot is that a fruit? It's got to be a fruit.
Oh, it's got to be a fruit. I'm bringing in all the food groups.
You're like, I would just be a Giselle Bundchen.
Pop-Tart?
It's like, wait, we're not dealing with...
No, yes.
Maybe a zucchini?
Yeah.
But that's a vegetable.
No, that's a vegetable. Oh, fruit?
No.
But I just remember in like 17
pineapple
magazines, they would always be like, if you're a pear, like you always were, there was different groups you could be, different food groups as a woman.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Pear, apple.
I like when there are animals that look like me. I feel like connected to the earth.
What like animal looks like you?
Certain camels, horses, many dogs. Many dogs with
certain
like fine
camels.
Long manes.
Yeah.
And long snouts. I look like legit really pretty dogs. So I'm flattered by it. First dog I ever looked like was in All Dogs Go to Heaven. And I always secretly was like, I really love that dog. It was the heaven dog that's like, Charlie,
yes,
you can never come back.
Oh,
I think she was like my style icon as like a 10-year-old.
I love that dog.
And then I went to college. I always secretly wanted to look like that dog and like wanted people to think I looked like that dog. I didn't realize it until I went to college and my friend Jess was like, you know that you look exactly like that dog from All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Can I see it?
And I was like, finally!
How good. I'm pulling
finally
it up. No.
What kind
you
of dog
do,
is
you
it?
Do.
A Dalmatian?
It's like, it's called like Sweetheart Dog or something. I've looked her up before. I should get her on like up my phone case, but because she truly is like a style icon.
I'm gonna have that whenever you call me. I'm gonna have this dog.
What kind
pop
of animal
up
have you gotten before? You kind of
yeah.
Have
Saralina
a,
is a
you have a praying mantis.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow!
Like
thanks
an insect vibe.
I was yes. All models, all really extremely beautiful people. Like they look like alien insects.
Really?
Kind of.
Like
that?
A grasshopper, like where the eyes are like far apart.
Yes.
Oh, that's so sweet. this dog. This is the homeless dog. Remember?
No,
the
it's
one that goes to
Charlie. You can never come
maybe
back.
Maybe you can be the homeless
Andrew could be the homeless dog.
Yeah, I mean, I laugh like that one dog. Apparently,
cute, but he kind of does remind me of you.
You can't
actually
even do an He's example of your ear. Own laugh.
It's the heaven dog.
What's his name again?
Heaven dog.
All dogs go to heaven.
Girl. What's that? I'll find her right now.
Heaven dog.
Heaven dog girl. Well, no, I won't. Oh, it's just like pictures of girls in heaven with their dogs.
I feel fat right now.
You feel fat right now?
Ugh, I weighed myself last week like a fucking idiot.
I know. Well, why did we have a scale in the goddamn office? Andrew is working on a show, a show that I can't tell you about yet, but I have a TV show coming out, and Andrew is working as one of the writers there, and in the office there is a scale.
Well, one of the other writers brought in Ari brought in a scale.
Wait, Ari brought that in?
He brought it in.
I'm going to fire his
You
ass.
Should.
What the fuck? There shall be no... I hate scales, and I hate when I see that boys have scales. It just tells me that you... It, I mean, obviously, I'm projecting because I'm like, I don't want to be around the same thing that haunts me. And I don't want to date a guy that's obsessed with like a number on a scale. And no. So when I saw that in the office, I was like, what the fuck? I thought you guys just found it.
No, Ari brought it in. You should call him
Why
and yell
would you
at him.
Bring a...
Call him.
I'll call him right now.
Yeah, put him on speaker.
No, I don't want to do that on the podcast. But why did he do it? Do we know?
I think he said he had one left over, but that doesn't mean why the fuck would you bring it on the train?
Okay, I'm going to ask him. I'm just going to...
Yeah, call him up.
Hey, Ari.
Why?
Oh, see, it spelled his own name wrong within his own text.
Anyways, but yeah, so he brought a scale in.
Hey, Ari, we're doing the podcast right now, and I was talking about how there was a scale in the office, and I just thought it was a random scale that was just sitting around the office, and it turns out you brought that into my place of work, and I need an ex... Why did you bring in a scale? Andrew has no idea why you would have brought it in. I need to know why you need
now
to weigh yourself
at work. Now I feel like I'm ratting him out. I don't want to feel like a rat.
Oh, shut up. I love Ari. He can do no wrong to me.
Yeah, I know. So I weighed myself. I was 206 pounds. I don't even know. I've never been over 200 pounds. Maybe once in my life. And I thought I was eating good. I thought I looked good. And then once you like look at it, then you like, weight is fucked up. Because then
Buck
it's like,
Mason is a little too stretchy, a little too forgiving. Yeah. Because you are not feeling it in your clothes. Because that's generally when you know that
I really
you're
was. I wear 33 pants right now. I'm not like wearing 36s. I think I've been lifting a lot. So muscle
so
does.
It's muscle, dude.
That's what I want to tell myself. But then
it is.
Yeah, I don't
and different
know.
Scales, you know.
Also, it's not like.
If your clothes fit, it's muscle.
Yeah.
If you're fat, your clothes wouldn't fit.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just the way it is.
I just think as a guy, you can't like complain about weight or you're called a pussy. And then, like, I don't really, like, yeah, I do feel way more confident when I feel, like, obviously in better shape. But I didn't even think I was in bad shape until I saw the number. I was like, what the fuck is
that? So if the number said 185.
Yeah, I would have felt better, for sure.
Let's just change the numbers.
I did. Yeah, I do. I weigh 184.
There,
yeah.
Perfect. You look great.
It's just, I saw that scale and I wanted to get on it so bad because you just want it to tell you something that you know isn't true.
Well, no other guy in the office would get on the scale.
I never like getting on scales, and especially, like, I know that it's, but it's so tempting. That's why I was mad about seeing it. I was like, I want to get on it so bad. And it's just like causing me stress to not be able to know, but to want to know. But the thing is, I recently have gained weight. None of my pants fit, and it fucking sucks because you're not because I'm bigger. I don't even care what I look good, but like all of my like you're just uncomfortable all the time. You just feel fat because your clothes are so tight, and then you can't. That's why like, but all my jeans recently have been like the actual denim that they used to like wear in the 70s, and then denim went stretch and it was great, and now all of my denim is like back to this vintage shit that makes you feel it right away.
Yeah,
you could not have fluctuated weight in the 70s.
Oh, you no. Must have had you were fucking putting on pants with pliers.
Those pants were so tight.
Yeah.
Like but spandex polyester and all that, the materials they used then, everyone must have...
Well, now all girls wear, like, workout pants.
But
it doesn't matter.
I can be
like,
fat, but I won't feel fat if I don't wear clothes that
don't
fit.
So why don't you buy clothes that are bigger?
Because I don't want to... I don't want
to being bigger.
No, because first of all, I hate shopping. I hate going doing fittings. I just spent a lot of money on a new wardrobe. A lot.
Can
and
you
I
trade
want,
it in for a size above?
No, I'll just work out enough to get it back. Because also I haven't been like, I realized I wasn't fucking. And so I like stopped working out because I'm like, I'm not going to have a good body for no reason. And then I started being naked with boys again. And I'm like, I got to get it in shape.
motivation.
So it's a motivation. And
yeah,
I'm not,
but then you just watch the Taylor Swift doc.
Yeah,
she's happy being a bigger size, and she like
I know
content to it.
I yes, but she also has people that can get her bigger clothes overnight, and it's like she doesn't even have to think about it. She can like it just happens, probably materializes around her, literally material just
that's true
becomes.
I'll get you bigger clothes overnight.
But I love Taylor Swift in that documentary. I want to talk about that, like in terms of eating disorder stuff. I really was reluctant to watch it because I just didn't. She seems to have been anorexic and gotten over it like so quickly. And part of me is like jealous, but also part of me is like, it looked really good on you, and that's in, and you got to use it in a way that I didn't. But like, or like, I don't know what I was thinking in the moment, and I just thought it might trigger me in a way that's like would resent her more or like at all. And it didn't. She like handled it. Did you watch the documentary, Saralina?
No.
It's so good. I really recommend it. I recommend every girl watching it, even if you think you'll just be jealous of Taylor Swift, which is what I thought. It like made me want to be a better artist and a better human. And I don't know. I love her so much more than I ever thought I could. But she was talking about I'm starting a new trend called Swifting for girls when you see a picture of yourself that you don't like, because there's a scene in the movie where she's talking about her eating disorder and how she was lying about eating and she was exercising a lot. And she didn't realize that, like, at the end of these concerts, these huge stadium shows, she wasn't supposed to feel like she was dying and like so exhausted. Like, there was a way to do it where she would feel great at the end, but she was like so malnourished that she was like struggling at these, of course, these huge arena shows. But she was like, I can be more powerful if I'm bigger, and like not bigger, but like, yeah, bigger. And so, but then she was like, see, she's in a car at one point. She looks at a picture of herself that she sees somewhere and she's like, see, normally I would. And she starts zooming in. She goes, nope, nope. You're not allowed to do that anymore. Sweet you don't thing. Get to do that anymore. That's not what we do. We want to, but we don't do that. Because when we did that, things were not good. So
like zooming in on your every little...
zooming in when we... And she just stops herself. The power that she holds in that moment, you're like, oh, I can be that powerful too. And change the voice in my head that's wanting to make me do the thing that's the easiest and the most comfortable. And it was just like, we all have to Swift.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do a Swift change of where you see a picture. Instead of zooming in, just go... we don't hurt ourselves like just ignore it. If you feel good, don't look at the fucking number.
Well, you gotta change the dialogue in your head. Are you making your body good for a man, or are you making your body good for to be as strong and as confident as possible on stage and do the most work without getting exhausted and having to drink 17 coffees?
I mean, that's true.
I don't know what the answer is, because you know, like, it's hard. But like, are you going to be sad if you're bigger? I mean, how much bigger would one have to be to actually like why are we so concentrated on it? No one else sees it except for that person, really.
A lot of the time.
I see it. Well, the thing is, the problem is that I get positive reinforcement for it almost instantly when I lose weight, like from everyone, from pictures on Instagram. Like, you just get a lot more love for your looks when you look hot.
You think 10, let's say 10 pounds, okay?
Yeah.
You put on 10 pounds.
Yeah.
You dress cool as shit. You still have your hair done. Like, everything's still done, but you gain 10 pounds and maybe you feel like more energy. You don't think
I'm not in a place where I feel comfortable with that. I'm just being honest.
No, I know. I'm just wondering, like,
because I'm so tied to it, and it's like, I will get to a place like that. That's like obviously goals for sure, but it's like, I am so uncomfortable right now. It's like, fuck. I mean, every day I'm like, you got to get back at, like, you got to find time to work out. Like, yesterday the fucking gym closed at 7 and I was going to go at like 7 and get a great run in before. It always energizes me before a show. I need to start working out again, and it fucking closed, and I was just like, what do I do? Yeah. I don't know what to do in my hotel room now. But then I was just like, okay, good.
But you look the same to me. Like, I see you all the time, but I don't see a difference at all.
I mean,
but you just feel it, I suppose.
Well, there's just no denying it when none of your jeans that fit the week before don't fit anymore. But I just, the problem I see is not that maintaining this. It's like, if I lose control of it, like when it starts to go a little bit and you see it, you go, what if I can't grasp it? And then I just am obese and I'm stuck in my house or something, which obviously would never happen. I mean, I went to a doctor the other day, and this is all very interesting to talk about, because I went to this psych doctor to get new meds and to really, like, she gets into your genetics. So I did like a mouth swab so they could trace me to any crime for the rest of my life. And I didn't do 23andMe, is it for health things?
Like, oh, this is in this DNA could.
Yeah. You know. So she's a doctor and she.
So
did
how much semen was in there?
She did a rape kit of my mouth. And she was like, oh, we were talking about all the same. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say about
no,
it.
No, no. So you got, so you went doctor, psych doctor.
Yeah, I know that. But I, what we were talking about right before that.
We're talking about weight.
Yeah, I know. Oh, fuck. She, I mean, we were talking about all this same shit.
Oh, losing control.
Losing control. Yeah, we, it's the same conversation. Yeah. I mean, of like, what would happen if you were bigger? What, like, all of that conversation? But it's also about, what was the most interesting thing she did? Oh, because I was talking about, like, sometimes she goes, you're really hard on yourself. Well, I had a doctor say that to me last week. I also started seeing a new therapist. It sounds like I see a lot of doctors, but it's just two. One for my meds, one for my brain, and to talk. But I started seeing this new one, and she was like, you're, like, really hard on yourself. And I was like, you know what? I hear that a lot, and I will acknowledge that that is your perception, but I just generally don't feel it. I don't think that I am. Like, but I, and she was like, oh, that sounds right. And then this doctor kind of said the same thing, which I get a lot, which I just, do you ever get something and you're like, I don't think of that as myself. Like, you don't see
yeah,
it?
Yeah, because, yeah, but you don't want to see it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, of course, like, we all have problems and we all have, like, things we do and like, whatever. Like, what's the word I'm thinking of? Whatever. Just, like, bad shit that we do. And when you're called out
defects.
On it. Yeah, you get called out on it and you're like, fuck you, dude. You know, you want to be defensive about it.
Yeah.
Because it's harder to deal with it. And you might be hard on yourself. And, like, but... you're afraid if you're not hard on yourself, you won't be as productive. I think that's what it comes down
right.
to.
Right.
And well, then if you're not productive, then you feel like a failure. And then if you're not being productive, you're also alone with yourself.
Yes. Yes.
So
it just feels so indulgent to, like, talk about yourself to for an hour and a half to someone and just, like, it really is.
Especially,
like,
after doing the radio for 2 hours.
Oh my God. I'm such a narcissist. I can't even stand it.
But, like, that's okay if you're.
But the reason I went to this woman is because I just want to feel
good. But do you
want to
not be
good.
A narcissist?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, no, because you can't.
Because you have to be for
you
the kind
to
of stand up you do. If you didn't pick yourself apart, you wouldn't be.
Yeah.
As good of a stand-up, because then
you'd
be doing...
Yeah, I'll give that up, though, to be happy.
Well, who says you're not happy right now? I don't know. There's somewhere in the middle of all this shit.
I was talking to my brother today about that, and he was like, you just worry about everything. You always... You know, like, everything's a stress. I'm like, this little thing, and this could be better, and that could be better. Like, it's different, but the same conversation in a sense. But he was saying, but because you're like that, that's why you get things done. That's why you're successful.
Yes.
If you're content, if you're just blah, then why would you want to grow to be anything else?
Yeah,
you know
that's
I mean?
True.
So I was kind of thinking about that today, and made my anxiety feel better. I was like, oh, I'm getting stuff done because I'm anxious about it. I don't think it's the way. I want to feel calmer.
Yeah, I want to feel calmer.
But don't you think
too.
Like... But I don't know. Sometimes I think with you two, and then, like,
just let it out.
With you freaking bitches. No.
Yeah, yeah.
No, like, I do. I think, like, and you talk about, like, guys, like, you got to work on yourself, like, working on yourself. And I feel like you all work on yourself so much to the point where it's, like not positive anymore, because it's like you're trying to reach this, like this idea of who you are without just being, like, step back and just breathe and be like, this is. I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
I think people
And because
do, yeah.
then once you go, I'm okay with this, then you could, like, you could chill and you could be present, and then you are the best version of yourself there, because you will be more empathetic and you will be, like, just more, like, whatever, you know, like, instead of, like, what do I have to do to
more,
make
more,
myself
how
better?
Do I get better?
I know, but
no, it's hard.
Easier said. Like,
no, I know. I'm not hating. I'm not, like, judging by any means, because I do the same
a
thing.
A little bit of anger to what you're saying of, like, if you
stop
just did
hitting
this,
me,
it's like,
Andrew,
of
stop
course.
No, I don't mean that.
It reminds me of when people used to be like, just eat something. And I'm like, that sounds like a great solution, buddy. But I don't know how. And they're like, well, the food is right in front of you. Just chew it and put it in your mouth. I mean, it really is bonkers to be like, I can't tell you. I don't know why, but I can't do that.
I'm with you.
People think you're crazy, but it's true because it seems easy for some.
Some people
just
don't
think
like that. Yeah, exactly. It's like a different. Here's what I think, though. I get what you're saying. But here, because I constantly try to do that. And like, I'm saying, like, okay, Adam, how are you supposed to do this? But you know when we do our gratitude list to each other sometimes?
Yeah, so I would say 2 out of 7 mornings. We got to start doing it every day
should.
Again. It was so good. So what about those?
Oh, the gratitude list. Those to me feels like they feel like milestones, so you can be thankful for how far you've come already. So when you get, because I'm constantly working on myself and I feel, oh, I'm never going to be there. Oh, I'm still anxious. Oh, I'm still worried. Oh, I'm still this. But sometimes I'm less. And sometimes, you know, I start remembering. That's what the gratitude list, almost like you're running on a treadmill, and each mile you get a little milestone. So when you're working out, and this is something with me I struggle with mentally, is like I never feel like I'm growing mentally. But when I work out, I can see, oh yeah, I ran 1 mile. Cool. I've already reached that milestone. But when you work on yourself mentally, it's different than physical, because you don't know when you're reaching the milestone because you're constantly working on the next thing.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
So for me, when we do those gratitude lists, it makes me feel, oh cool, I reached 1 mile, because now I'm thankful for my apartment or whatever.
It feels tangible. Like
it feels tangible. Like a tangible thing that you're like, reached a mile there.
Yeah. You and it's, you're doing something that's kind of homeworky, like, so when you're done with it and you see, I wrote these 3 paragraphs about things that I'm grateful for, and it was really a struggle because I was on my way to work, I was in a bad mood, and I had to dig inside myself and really find things that I'm like so grateful for today, and it fucking puts you in a good mood. I swear to God, I watched a YouTube video and it sold me on it. We got to do it again.
Let's do it.
Because I mean, there are so many things to be grateful for, and that's like the only way to like actually, yes. I say
all that to say, like, I've been definitely one to be lazy. I've been one to be content when I shouldn't be. I've been one to literally put off years of my life in depression and in not doing anything and being completely frozen.
Right.
Until, like, now I feel like I have been at least enough productive where I could actually, like, look at myself.
Yeah.
And, like, so I say all that to say there's, again, in the middle somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I know, like, I could also work on myself more.
Uh-huh.
But that being said, it's you just
No,
being okay
you
with
you have really
too.
Good self-esteem. I definitely
it's
like
it's all right. I mean, I put up a picture of my shirt off and you think that I have self-esteem.
Yeah, I know. Like what is that? That's not self-esteem?
It's just like the picture look with Matt. I put up Matt Rife, who's this ripped.
Yeah, yesterday we were in Vegas and the comedian Matt Rife joined us. He's a friend of ours and He's just a great kid to have around. We like him. And
yeah, he's
Andrew and he
24.
Have a really funny, like
he's
flirty
fire.
Type, like hilarious Instagram relationship that I really enjoy. So he hung out with us last night and we met in the lobby and then we had to check him into his hotel room. So we all just like went and hung in his hotel room and instantly Andrew wanted to get a photo session going.
I don't know. He's just like, I know he's known.
He has the best, but like he's a perfect specimen. Like he works out way too much probably.
So there's something like
he's pretty.
Yes, he's a pretty
beautiful.
Man.
It's like when you see a nice car and you want to pose in front of it.
It's
Andrew
like
wanted
like
to take his shirt off next to.
Like when you drive you're a Camry and you're like, let's take a picture next to a Ferrari.
Yes.
Because you want to be okay being a Camry. Like there was something to like. Also, I think it's funny because like here I am trying to be sexy. He is sexy.
Right.
He is what sex is.
Yeah.
He has 300,000 followers because he has 19 abs. And he fucked and he dated Kate Beckinsale. Like the boy is hot.
Yeah, he's really hot.
So I thought to him I would never look worse, but then, you know, I don't know, it just felt fun.
Yeah.
And
but that's not self-esteem?
I don't know if it's
like,
self-esteem.
To be like, I don't care what people think and
it
doesn't matter.
I choose humor over anything.
Yeah.
Is it to cover how you feel? Do you want to be as ripped as that?
Sometimes, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
not
all right.
That ripped, okay. But like somewhere
he's really ripped. But do you think you lose your funny when you're like he's a comedian? He's funny.
He's funny. I don't agree with
funny.
Any of that.
You lose your funny.
No.
But do you think a lot of your humor is
tied up in me?
Tied
not
up
looking
in you?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
I don't think it is either. I'm just like wondering if you.
I used to think that. I used to think dressing shittier and looking shittier and like I don't know and like you couldn't be too attractive, because like there literally is that in the comedy community. If you're coming up in an open mic and you're too attractive or you're too well put together, you'll get bullied. Like, you'll be like, what's this fucking good looking finance guy trying to do comedy?
Right.
And you're like, get the fuck out of here. Like, it's so quick. Or like a girl, yeah. Like, you're so like, what are you doing? You're like a fucking girly girl doing comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That happens all the time. You could be too attractive.
Do you feel
and get
like that sometimes? Because you're like the babiest of babes.
Well, when I was a baby, I definitely felt it. Like when I was starting out in comedy, there was like, but it was just other girls.
Yeah.
And like trying to diminish you, or like people who are just jealous. It's just jealousy. Mm. So
yeah.
If you're funny, they're just, but if you're not, like, you guys were trashing someone who's not funny, but like gives it his all. And like the other night, or telling me about someone who, and the way you're trashing him was loving, because he's not a threat to any of you. So you all like were trashing him in this way that wasn't like, had no venom behind it, because he's a nice guy and he's trying his best and he's kind of oblivious to how much he stinks at comedy. But if the only reason you bully someone with venom is when you're threatened by them.
Yeah.
Otherwise you just like have like a joke and you go, oh, he's, you know.
Yeah, but you can get bullied within the comedy community when you're coming up for like three or four years. But then, like, the public, and, like, if you're going out on the road and, like, you're attractive and you're well put together and you're confident, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, I don't know. It's just shit you got to go through in the comedy world, I guess. But anywhere else in real life, you want to be the best version of yourself.
But is there anyone that gets by any kind of part of their life, whether it's high school or the comedy world or the modeling world, or with unscathed, with no, like, feeling like, is there anyone that you could point to that you're like, that guy just like never had to struggle, it's just always been easy, that person?
And it's not easy for them,
because you don't know their life.
Yeah, we don't we find that out. I mean, people would look at Sarah Lena and look at you and probably feel the same way.
Yeah, they can project a lot of shit, and that's what I was saying about Sarah Lena before, is like, she's someone who's so beautiful and like, but she doesn't know it. Aww. And so it's not annoying, but like it could be annoying. And it is annoying sometimes, because she doesn't know how beautiful she is, and then you have to like explain.
You got
like
this thing from Redwall.
Yeah, it's called Redwall. I'll Redwall Sarah Lena when she'll be like.
Well, she lives in the model world is like complete opposite of what we were just talking about.
Yeah. Where
if you're not the hottest or the most unique or most exotic, whatever it is,
or if you don't look a certain way in the modeling world, like the other night I was with Sarah Lena and I told her that some guy said that she was like the most beautiful woman he's ever seen, and that like other women don't make sense when they're around her, and I told her that, and she was just like, I can't get it. And she just kept bringing up like, wow, he really said that. Someone's, and I go, every guy feels that way around you. Like, I don't, are you kidding? And she goes, I don't know. And I go, and I know this is uncomfortable. I go, you're a model.
Yeah.
You succeed very well in your business because you're beautiful. Like, why don't you see it? But she doesn't see herself. But then I learned when I probed a little bit more that you feel like kind of like the outsider in the modeling world, or you feel like
a outsider.
For
sure.
How so?
Well, for instance, there's a lot of times that I would get booked. I don't know. I don't know if it's just the way I feel inside. Just I don't feel as beautiful. Sometimes I feel like I've tricked the industry. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah,
I've been doing it for 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. But because of insecurities, I'm like, uh-oh, I better invest in something now because this money will never come, or whatever it is with the modeling. But sometimes I think in order for me to keep clients, I put on the, oh, I'm funny and fun, you know, and even though there's...
Like, so you
I can't
feel like
put
you
on
supplement.
Like, I can't sit in the I'm beautiful role, where there's a lot of models where they have that confidence where they can walk in and they're like, I'm beautiful. I don't feel comfortable being that. So if I'm, oh, I'm approachable, you know, then that's so I sort of
you nice say, girl your way in.
Maybe. Or I cool. like I'm fine, try to be like,
funny,
do weird faces or something. I don't know. Like, hey, we're the same, so I try to be friendly.
I
feel like
it's
the same way.
I eat pizza. I'm just like you.
I'm just like you.
But I almost
bite it. I smell it a little.
It's funny though, because that's why I say I'm funny. It's because I'm supplementing for not being as pretty as I want to be and not being able to compete with women who are. And so I have to like try extra hard to be extra likable.
Yeah.
Because, and that's the thing that Taylor Swift talks about in this thing too, is just being likable, like wanting people to like you so desperately. Mm-hmm. And like, how sad it is, but that is why you're funny. It makes sense now. Because you are, and but that doesn't. But that's also. It's so funny that I'm friends with Sarah Lena now because I always used to tell my ex-boyfriend, and I said it like when we were making the show Not Safe about like because we were exploring all these things about like beautiful people don't really need personalities. And oh, I was doing a joke at the time where I said that I would be okay with my ex like sleeping with other women, and I'm just like. Because, yeah, there'll be hotter girls, but no girl's going to be as cool as I am. It's just, like, not going to happen. So, like, he'll find someone, but he'll always be, like, not as entertained. And, like, and I always felt really confident about that. And I was like, there's one exception to this rule. And her name is Sarah Lena. Mm-hmm. I was like, she is as beautiful as she is cool. And she's the one threat. But she is married, so I'm safe. So,
but there is like
she's back on the market.
I'm back out there.
It should make you feel better though, in the sense like, I mean, Sarah Lena's a model and an actress as well. But like, if you did stand up as well, you would have like, let's say you gain 20 pounds, mm-hmm. that would really affect like you.
My cheeks
career.
That's where it goes. Yeah.
Career, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would have, yeah.
She'd survive. Like, she'd get into plus size modeling like that. Like, you would just thrive in
plus
that.
Size,
I'm just saying there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of, like,
she's a survivor.
There's a lot of pressure on staying when you're already attractive one.
Yes.
And you hear that all the time.
Yes.
And then you're all of a sudden now your hair's falling out.
Yeah.
You're getting back hair.
Which is true.
Things are falling apart. It's like,
all
what?
Of which are already
true to me.
My Letterman.
I feel so seen right now.
My Letterman jacket doesn't fit anymore. It's like, who am I?
No,
oh wait,
it's true.
I've just been this jock my whole life and living off the past my whole life.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
Well, that's why you, like you said, it's like you both metaphorically and literally make other investments in yourself. Like you took up tango, like you find other ways to find worth and value and fun and like a career path. And that's why I think I like do so many things too, is like because there is a part of me that like was the like coming up like, oh, she's pretty and she does comedy. And that was like my thing was being like the hot, like not hot, but like the pretty comic or whatever. Cause when I was young, it was, and now you're like, well, will they think I'm funny if I'm not as pretty? And like, even though I know that's true, like I could do comedy with a fucking bag on my head. And I do radio. My face isn't out there. I'm good at this. No one's looking at me right now. I do require
you
everyone who listens to the podcast to listen at, to Google Nikki Glaser hot and look at the first image that comes up while you watch this podcast or listen to this podcast.
Well,
that's how you watch it. That's how you can watch it on YouTube. We have just have a still image.
There is a thing, though, like, obviously, like, with women and men, too. Well, like, the examples I think of, like, Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Of, like, being fat when you're funny. And, and I don't like, you hear, like, regular people be like, or regular, whatever, like, skinny Jonah Hill sucks or skinny Seth Rogen. We like them fat, you know, and then they gain weight again and they yo-yo a lot. And then, you know, or you get in really good shape and then you're Chris Pratt and then you could be like a hot, like heartthrob who happens to say a couple funny things, but you're not a comedian anymore. But then with a woman, I feel like you either have to be skinny or like really fat. Like the industry doesn't want you to be kind of
in
the middle, you know? And it's the same thing with comedy. You either want people to love you or hate you. So you're like polarizing.
Yeah. You want to go one way or the other sharply. That's interesting to stand out because you don't want to be average.
Yeah.
Being average for me is like the scariest word.
Yeah.
Like I remember my old therapist yelling at me like, you're average. That's just the way it is. And it's just like, you can't say, she was like, you're average looking. It's just the way it is. And I was just like, but you know what I was thinking when she said it, whether it's true or not, for some people it is true. They're average looking. And that should be okay. I shouldn't be like, when people go, Nikki, you're not average looking. I don't want people to say that. I want them to be like, who cares if you are or not? It doesn't matter.
Well, I do think we live in a world now where like podcasts and like with the internet, there is like people like it when they relate to you, when they're like, oh, that could be my friend. Mm-hmm. As opposed to before with movie stars and TV stars, it was just like, I can never be this beautiful person. And we all have to look up to these beautiful people. And that's what we all have to aspire to. Now I feel like there is a market for like what we do where like, oh, looking average. And by the way, the word average automatically just sucks, right? Like,
yeah, it sounds
because
terrible.
It's like, yeah, it sounds terrible. Oh, you're like, we just think of average as like,
well, it means that no one's looking at you. It's like you're the most people are doing what you're doing, so you have a less of a chance to stand out.
Yeah,
but did you think as a kid isn't that what I don't know, as a kid, when I was a child, that's all I wanted to be was average. I didn't want to be too tall. I didn't want to be too small. I wanted to be just like
just
everybody
fit in
else.
And so you
just wanted to fit in.
Too, yeah.
And just and then somewhere down the line.
I just wanted to look like Katie Miller.
Just Katie Miller?
I wanted to specifically, that I was
sounds
just
like a hot girl.
She Katie was so Miller. Cool.
But then, yeah, I don't know.
You, yeah, but yeah, you do sounds, just want to blend in.
Everyone has a Katie Miller. You just want to blend in.
But
who
then tall guys
Miller?
Get more than short guys.
I want to say Gabriella. What was her last name? Purser. She was like the blonde.
What's with these beautiful first names and like kind of weird last names? Like Saralina Prozel is your name and Gabriella Purser.
It's the same person. That's her alter ego.
I mean, come on, girl.
Yeah. That's you in a blonde wig, you son of a bitch.
We kind of, yeah, wow. I'll take it.
Purser and Prozel.
Purser and Prozel.
Dude, it's the same person.
It's the same.
It's 100%. Who are you?
Gabriella Purser.
That's Purcell. Who she was growing up.
That was me.
Yeah.
That was my other
that's
side.
That's who you left in the
that
desert.
That was my blonde
in the Mojave.
Version. In
we
the
got
Mojave.
A lot of questions submitted. So we did an Instagram live right before Saralina showed up, and I had people submit questions in the live for me and Andrew to tackle during the show. So I'm just going to go through some of them. And okay, there's a girl that's asking for advice. Dating a guy in $100,000 student loan debt. How fast should I run?
Oh. Wait, is he in the debt?
Yeah.
Does
I mean,
he have a job?
More where that came from. Does he have a job? Is
I know there's so much
is
more
he taking
where that
care
came
of
from.
It? And I don't think you should run from him because if he took the chance to go to school and take on the debt, that means he's pretty ballsy, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And his parents didn't pay for him. He's like, I'm figuring this out. I don't know. I say get pregnant.
Yeah, get pregnant.
Now, if he never graduated and he's a fucking junior, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And he's 45, run.
How often do you shave?
Your legs?
I think this is interesting. I don't think guys... Well, guys know how fast hair grows. The guys
Three
are really
days.
Ignorant about other things, like nails and stuff and makeup. Guys don't really fucking know a thing or two. But shaving guys tend to know. I shave whenever I think I'm going to hook up. For like once a month.
Are you talking about your vagina?
Oh, my legs.
Oh, you shave legs. Once a month for your legs?
Yeah, I don't really know. And I'm getting laser hair removal, so it's not really that bad right now.
What about when you didn't have laser hair removal?
Just if I was going to like be in shorts, like if I'm running outside like every day, then maybe like, I don't know when I remember. But if I'm wearing like a dress, I only do it when my legs are going to be out and I know and I have to be prepared. Otherwise, no.
Yeah, it's all seasonal,
keep yourself warm.
Right?
Saralina works every day and has to
I work, so I could keep it. That, well, that's why I got laser, so I could just... Be prepared.
I didn't
all the
time. Know laser didn't remove blonde hairs, and so now
oh, you have to.
I still have
do
all
extra?
Of my hair that no. I paid for my arms. I paid $1,500 for my arms, and it's all blonde hair, and it's all back. And she was like, "Oh yeah, blonde hair doesn't. We don't do blonde hair." I'm
then
like,
"Why did she?
Then why did? Would you recommend this?"
Fucking no, but it has to work though because my friend's blonde and she got rid of hers. You just need extra.
I mean. No, it's just like these lasers don't work on blonde hairs, like
no
really blonde
way.
Hairs.
That's
yeah.
so annoying. I sometimes get one long one that comes.
What? How long? That you just
no,
did
I mean,
like 4 inches?
No, it was probably like a good four. I'm not joking, like a 4 inch.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I'll take a picture of
and
it like,
and
Instagram
sprout
it.
Overnight?
3 weeks. You guys will see soon.
Okay, this is a great question from a doctor of all people. Do you ever obsess about someone that isn't reciprocating as much? How do you stop thinking about them? I mean,
that's a good question for you, for sure.
How do you?
Yeah, that's all we do. For me, I don't obsess, dude. I don't obsess. You think I obsess over my current situation? You think I obsess?
I think you a little, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I talk about it like not that much. I really don't.
But what's not that much?
I mean,
you have a low tolerance, though. No,
I don't
oh, no,
think
actually,
I do.
You have a high one, actually.
I think I have a high tolerance.
Okay,
deal with us,
maybe
ladies,
I just don't.
I don't think you know when you're talking about it.
Oh, but it isn't on my mind as much as it used to be. I think it used to be, but it isn't as much.
I think there's a difference between talking about it and thinking about it, and then the other where you care. I think those are
right.
two different things.
Huh.
One is when you care and it's affecting you emotionally and it's getting in
right.
the way of doing things, like doing work and stuff because
right.
you're overthinking it.
Right.
Then the other one is it's still on the top of your mind and it's like...
But you're functioning.
But you're functioning.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I like it because it just feels like
a good place to be.
Kind of a beach ball that I keep hitting.
Yeah.
And it's like
which
always
is kind
in
of
play.
Fun. Yeah.
But it's kind of, it's distracting, but.
Everyone needs a beach ball.
I know I can hit it and won't get, it won't come back to me for a little bit.
Yeah, you're good.
But yeah, I mean, like, I don't feel like obsess is not the word I would use for myself, but I guess it's healthy for me to hear that from you, who's around me a lot.
I don't think, I don't know, maybe because I'm so the opposite of it.
But when you were dealing with girl shit too, like, you were the same way.
I know, but I was dating that person.
I know, but listen, this is all I've got.
She's got her beach ball.
This is all I've got.
Give her a beach ball.
I need something. Jesus.
I'm with you. I'm not judging. I swear to God, if it comes off judgy, I'm about
right.
It's literally only it's coming from a place where I don't think the person's reciprocating as much.
Oh, are you sure? Of course.
That's
what
I was talking about with this.
Yeah. Well, dude, I'm the one that says it all the time that he doesn't think of me at all. I've said it probably more than you've thought it. So,
okay, so
don't act like that's some novel idea.
I don't think it's novel.
Okay, but like.
What was the question? What was the question?
Do you ever obsess about someone that isn't reciprocating as much? How do you stop thinking about them?
Okay, so how do you stop thinking about them?
Well, when they're not, it actually helps me if they eventually show me who they really are in like a pretty bad way. Like when I always like reach a bottom with these guys. And if you let them mistreat you enough, you work on yourself enough to like have self-esteem, hopefully those converge at the same time. And so when someone's shitty to you, you're just like, ugh. You're just kind of turned off by them. So that's what I work on, is like liking myself more, so that when people who don't like me are not into me, then I'm just like, okay, good. You have bad taste. Bye. And that's what I feel like with this person. Like, my problem with this person and with other men is that they come back around. And as soon as I'm feel like I've moved on and I can start entertaining the idea of someone new or being like doing anything else, then they come back around. And also, I'm fucking busy as shit, and it's fun to think about these guys, and it brings me so much joy to like fantasize that. I'd rather have it than nothing. You know, like I like having a crush, even if it's an unrequited one, or like, because also it's not that this guy isn't into me. He just will never love me, but he definitely wants to fuck me, and that still feels good. Isn't there some value in that?
Yeah, I think so. I'm with you.
Andrew,
you know, that's terrible.
I don't know. I'm just thinking. I don't want to say the wrong thing and then have you get upset.
But I mean, last night we were in Vegas and you were horny and you were obsessed with getting laid.
No, because I didn't do it.
Yeah.
It's like that thing that Dan was saying.
But you were tired.
About that. It was tired.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, Dan was saying that adaptation, that movie and adaptation, something about Nicolas Cage. It's basically, it doesn't matter what the other person does. How does that person make you? It's like your own story. He makes you feel love and you feel excited about your day and he gives you something to shave for, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's about you.
The thing is, I know these guys, and for the other ones too, like fucking, you know who. I knew that he was not into me as much as I was into him. I knew that he wouldn't be into anyone. I didn't take it personally. This guy, when he's not into me, I'm not like he doesn't respect me. It's like he is unable to do that to anyone. So it doesn't affect me like I am a bad person that he doesn't like me.
Yeah.
Yes, he can be disappointing because I'm like, damn it, I thought I was going to get to hold someone's hand that I really like. Fuck. But I'm not like, boys don't love me.
Okay, but my thing though is that, okay, like that girl wants to just be my friend that I thought was attractive and that was fun to hang out with. And I found out.
Yes.
That.
Yes.
And it sucks a little bit, but like so much of it is like, okay, so then let's say your self-esteem has gone. You're working on yourself. And then you're like, well, whatever. You're going to treat me like shit. Go fuck yourself. And then you're like, well, then they come back around. And then why are we even letting that motherfucker come back around? You know? Like, why are we letting, like, if we really did work on ourselves
because,
and we were over it, then why are we letting them back?
Because the way they touched you made you feel alive. Because when you kissed them, it made you feel like a new person. And the next day you were in a great mood because having romantic chemistry with someone is one of the most intoxicating drugs ever. And that's why.
It's true. It feels good. But
no,
do
I've
they come
it.
Back
I
different?
Do, I would do it all the time with, like, my college girlfriend. I would get better. I would get in shape.
Get her back.
I'd get her. No, not to get her back. Just to like, I thought.
Just to work on yourself.
Yeah, it was just surface shit though. Yeah, and yeah, so yeah. Then I'd get attraction from other girls. I'd stop calling her, and then right when she came back, because the foundation wasn't really strong. Like yeah. I was doing all these things to get attention from women, not for like myself.
Not for yourself. Mm-hmm.
So like you could work yeah. on yourself, like it's kind of bullshit if you're just working on yourself to get attraction from someone else to get that other person. Yeah. Then you're not over them.
It could be a kickstart, but I think in the end, if it really starts working and you work on yourself, then you start thinking, yeah, maybe you don't even need that person. Then you outgrow them. I know that's happened in some of our yeah. relationships. Like, oh, okay, that's outgrown. Now I need, and maybe the other person keeps coming back because the kiss feels good or the chemistry is so strong. But I think eventually, if they don't stick and you keep working on yourself, then they sort of like fall off.
Shut away.
They shut away. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be someone else intoxicating. And so it's really just about working on yourself, right?
It is. And the problem is, like, I feel like I work really hard on myself. And it's like these guys can't catch up. But the thing is, if they even do a little bit, I'm willing to work. I work on myself so I can work with people who are not healthy. Yeah. Like, I do work on myself to manage other people's stuff because I grew up with, like, we all grow up with, like, other people's personalities and we're trying to manage it all. And I work on myself right currently with trying not to manage other people's lives and to let go of that and to, like, so I'm equipped to deal with someone who is going through stuff, but I need them to work on themselves. And that's what I feel about a lot of these guys that, like, I say he could never love me, but listen, if this guy or any of these guys, like, worked on themselves, they could love me or someone else, but right now they don't have it in them, and I don't feel threatened when they don't love me, because I'm like, this person, if he ended up with someone tomorrow and was like madly in love with some girl and it was all over Instagram, I wouldn't be like, wow, he really loves her.
Happened with what's his name?
Oh yeah, it happened recently. Yeah. A guy that I dated like last week is all over Instagram, like making out with a girl, like dancing and like having a great time, like doing all the things that like I could have pictured myself doing, that I did picture myself doing with him. And I really was like happy for him. Yeah. But I also said to myself, I hope they are perfectly suited for each other. I truly do. And maybe he's done work on it, you know, like even that, like, I feel like actually they're a good fit, but it's not going to be perfect. Like, I think that, oh my God, she's going to get this side of him. That's like the yeah. best thing ever. Yeah. And it's like, no, they have their own shit that they'll deal with. And I don't know. I wasn't hurt by it. It was, thank God. When I saw it, my first reaction, I think you showed me first, mm-hmm. Andrew. I was like genuinely happy for him.
Yeah, you seem to handle it very well.
I really didn't go back to it and like zoom in. I mean, I was
you
like,
didn't,
oh.
You didn't swift it.
I didn't swift.
No, you could swift someone else too.
Yeah, oh yeah, you could swift someone
yeah.
else. Like,
oh yeah, that's good.
She's not as cute as I thought.
People.
She's way prettier than I thought. And oh my God, I can't even stare at this. I mean, I definitely don't follow people when they're too hot.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another question. Have you had a good self-induced cry sesh lately? No, but I was meditating on it today when I was on the plane. And I was like, I really want to cry later. So I might watch something later to get myself crying. And then just try to like shut my laptop and like really focus on crying. What about you, Sarah Lena? Have you cried alone recently?
Oh, yes.
To what? How did you get there?
I just started thinking about my ex, actually. I was thinking, not necessarily about him, just of a time that you won't have moments again. And sometimes I either really like moments and they're gone. And sometimes I miss the moments, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I feel nostalgic, so it brings a tear. But it, you know, it's not like because you
miss
anything.
Will you just like be laying in bed and a tear will like drip down to your perfectly like little silk pillow and like
Gabriella.
You have like a like, beautiful yes. candle. Your apartment's so beautiful.
And then I fart and it smells like flowers. So I just kind of crop dust around the apartment.
There's something so interesting about Sarah Lena that I do want to bring up that I think about frequently with you, which is like that beautiful women have to do. And I didn't think about it, but like you often have felt... Well, in high school, you started modeling when you were 16, mm-hmm. right?
15
when you were like discovered. Then you went to Paris mm-hmm. when you were 16 mm-hmm. and like saw the world. And you grew up in like California City, California. That's like even smaller than Fresno.
Yeah, there was 2,000 people in town.
Oh my God.
Tiny.
So then, but the girls at high school didn't understand why you were this model because you were like, you look different.
I was like,
you
yeah.
were Filipino.
Yes.
And now you are...
Polynesian.
Polynesian, baby. Little 23andMe.
Little 23andMe.
I don't even... Was it the 23andMe that brought this about?
No, it was...
The realization that you're...
Yes. My mom was adopted, the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, in the end, still Filipino at heart.
Yeah, at heart.
But yeah, but it's so mixed up anyways. I mean, we're all mixed up. Who knows what we really are?
Oh, we're all mixed up.
We're all mixed up. But
don't know what to do.
Then you turn around and the person is you. And it won't last.
So let's get off of your ass. 311, shout out. So, but in high school, you had to, like, girls were so jealous of you and how hot you were. You had to, like, play up, like, being gross around boys. It was like a defense mechanism you made so you could make your girlfriends.
I wanted to make people feel, you know, you get that feeling.
I get that. I would do that at parties.
Yeah,
you make an ass out of yourself, so then
I'm like, I'm not a threat. Yeah.
You can't.
Don't worry, I'm not
after
you. No. That's different. She wanted girlfriends, and her girlfriends were jealous of her because she was so beautiful and all the boys liked her. And so it would cause friction between them and their, like, the girls and their boyfriends. And so Sarah Lena would be very, like, bro-y around these guys so that she can maintain these relationships with her girlfriends and they wouldn't get jealous of her.
In case they were jealous of me.
You wouldn't have come up with that defense mechanism if it wasn't true.
I would do things like make weird faces or just, you know, hey,
yeah, you
be
can
my
really
friend.
Look disgusting.
Thank
like,
you.
Like, that one face that you can make is so amazing. It's one of the most, like you go from looking like the most beautiful woman in the world to truly one of those little urchins that surrounded Ursula.
Yeah, or
those
the scream
things.
Mask.
Or the scream mask.
Yeah, it does go scream.
You would be amazing if someone's casting a horror film. If you need, like, a really thin, beautiful woman to, like, be a creature underneath, like, some kind of
no makeup
deck.
Artist needed. I would save on
no
budget.
Makeup artist. I mean,
I'll
it's
just do it
crazy. This face you can make. It's not. Human.
That's when I
know
I'm like.
You have too. Remember Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's that character.
The clay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That stretches their face.
Yeah.
Aww, it looks
thanks.
Like that. Or it looks like the masks in The Village. Remember The Village? Like, that's what it is. It's freaky as shit. But I just thought that was interesting because, like, I think my sister had to do that too. Girls, really, including me, were like fucking hated my sister because she was so beautiful. And I was like probably the ringleader, except that I didn't. In terms of, like, my mental anguish about it. But, like, I probably didn't make her feel that good and safe to be around. She probably felt she had to do the same things because it was like, all the boys like you, Lauren. I'd get drunk and just, like, cry and make her feel bad about being so pretty. And it's like, she
you know,
can't
but there's
help
the
it.
Other type of girl that's like, which I always wish I was, just kind of like, yeah, well, you not being into me because of the way I look is your problem and this is who I am, and standing in yourself in that confidence
great.
Imagine, right?
Yeah.
I'm beautiful, hear me roar. That's what I would like.
I know sometimes, like, people tell me that, it's like, no, I'm not hiding it. I'm not overconfident to hide it. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like, there's, like, certain women that, like, whatever society says, where they're bigger and whatever, mm-hmm. but they have, like, all this, like, attitude and, like, confidence, and you're like, yeah, but underneath that, there's a sad person on there.
Yeah.
And they're like, nutter it. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe they're just not. I think there's people that really stand in their beauty. I mean, Ashley Graham, she's like.
Yeah. I wonder if, I mean, there must be some of these plus size models who are like being like, I love my body, body positivity, that definitely struggle. There just isn't any way. And that's why I like refuse. I think it's good because we need that so much, but I can't lie and be like, I love the skin I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I can't
get laser the skin I'm in off my face. Like, I'm still.
But there are things that you kind of just, like, if you have freckles, you have freckles, you know, like, you can't, like, and not that freckles is a flaw or anything. I'm not saying.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like my dad was saying this today because I was having an issue about my age. I'm like, well, I'm in my 30s and mid 30s. And what am I going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How am I don't know. It just I started getting a funk about it, but there's nothing I can do about it. This is who I am. This is the body I'm
in. It really is. There's nothing you can do. You're aging. That's the thing, is like, women are sold this lie that we're not going to age or something, or that it's unavoidable, like it's avoidable.
Yeah.
But it's not.
No, we're
just
going to keep, or we
die.
I was looking at the waitresses at the hotel that were like probably like 65 or older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they still have to wear like skimpy outfits.
Did you feel bad or how did you feel?
I felt really like a lot of empathy for them and like sadness for them, but maybe they're, but then I looked again and I was like, they actually seem like they're having a pretty good time. It's like, why am I putting that on them, that their age is making them sad that they're wearing? Maybe they feel hot and maybe they're not, you know, I don't know. Like, my perception could be wrong.
Right.
But at first I was like, oh, I feel so bad that she has to keep fucking coming here.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah, I just want to look cool when I'm an older woman. You just want to look cool. You don't, you're not trying to go for fuckable.
Yeah.
You just try to look like as cool as possible, which is like, kind of like dressing like a man, to be honest.
Eventually, like old men and old women, they look.
They kind of merge. Yeah, just like babies. You go from being a baby, which is kind of androgynous. Yeah. Like you don't know.
And then we go back to androgyny.
Yeah.
It's great.
And you go back to unfuckability. You, as a baby, you hope you're unfuckable, right?
Yeah.
And then as a very old person, you hope you're unfuckable because you're a you're vulnerable. And so
you might as well
people
get it all
get
in
you.
Now.
It's true. Like, you look as fuckable as possible when you're the crown, like the most fit you are, because then you can fight off people that want to fuck you. You shouldn't be fuckable when you're defenseless.
Yeah, but my grandma still wants to get fucked, and she's 99.
No, senior citizen homes have the worst STDs. My mom worked
I can't believe, but I wonder how much your grandma's actually fucking. And like,
well, 99, probably too much.
She's 99?
Yeah, she turned 99 a week ago.
Wow.
It was so cute. She was like singing with her
bushel
friend.
Bushel in a pack. Yeah.
Oh, bushel in a pack. That was like the...
A hug around my neck.
That was what the Hot 90s, Hot 97 was playing in 1923.
Yeah, yeah. That's the last song she remembers because she has dementia. Yeah.
Let's see. Worst bombing stories from your careers. What's the most embarrassing? Like, what's the worst job, worst you've ever done on a job, or worst experience you've had on a job where you've bombed?
Or in life. Have you ever bombed and like...
Bombed?
Where something was like a big deal.
It just
deal
went so badly.
Ooh.
That you could like, if you could take back.
You ever trip while walking down the
road? I never trip while, I always quivered that that would happen. No.
But she doesn't.
Oh, you know what?
Do you do runway?
I used to.
Oh my
yeah,
God,
when
did?
I was young.
Cool.
Something happened. I don't think anyone noticed it. And this was a, but basically I had to wear these Daisy Dukes and I went down the runway and I had a tampon string dangling out of
Damn.
It.
Damn.
But I don't
like,
think anyone noticed, but I remember looking down, changing.
Oh, there's nothing worse when you're a young girl being like,
oh my God, I have a
tampon
period.
String.
Yeah.
I bet there was some designer like, whoa, so forward.
Now I'm so excited.
I should have just taken it out at the end of the runway, whipped it around.
just swung
like,
it
wow.
like a lasso.
Swung it like a lasso.
I was talking about it at the end of my set because I just got my period 2 days ago and I haven't had it for like fucking forever and I'm so excited.
Milk thistle.
My sister, we landed and we had a layover from Tulsa to Vegas. We had a layover
in Dallas.
And I went, there was a GNC and I was like, oh, my sister told me like, because I'm doing acupuncture to get it back. I'm doing these herbal teas. But my sister was like, oh, just take milk thistle. But I forgot what she had told me. So I called her in the middle of this GNC. Andrew was with me and we were walking between gates and she was like, it's milk thistle. And I was like, sweet. Thanks, Lauren. And I like walk up or and I'm like in the middle of it being like, how did you get your period back? Milk thistle. Thank you. And I pay for it at the desk and I walk to the bathroom. I have to go to the bathroom before I went to Starbucks. And I started my period like right after I bought the milk thistle. I didn't
so
even take it.
That's all you need.
And so I went back into the GNC and I slammed it down. I go, I just started my period. I know you heard me before.
Can
and
I get my money back?
Can I get my money? So I got my money back. I was like,
amazing.
I don't need
it. I love it that you just didn't take it.
No, I don't need it.
That's
it's back,
good.
Baby.
It's back. Coming
it
in.
I was so excited.
Funny that you returned. I didn't know you returned.
Oh, I returned it. I was
return
like, I don't need
of
it.
The, oh, I thought return of the period.
Return,
all
return
I needed
of
the
milk.
I just needed to buy it.
Return of the milk.
Yeah.
Return.
Yeah. My, I don't return know. Of the period. The worst bomb, I go back to the Koch brothers one.
Oh, yeah.
Where
you
I performed for the nephew of the Koch brothers. They're worth $40 billion. And I met him. I was only 6 months into comedy. I'd do a half hour for his birthday show. And I showed up. It was just a private room with like 10 billionaires just standing there or sitting there eating dinner, watching me with no microphone and no speaker. And I just had to fucking entertain him. And I could hear him eating lobster while I was performing. And then, so I had to do 30 minutes and I didn't have 3 minutes at the time.
Dude.
And so then I ended up just doing crowd work and I just yelled at the guys that they were all trust fund kids. And then the one guy goes, well, I work in air conditioning. I go, get out of here, you poor piece of shit. And I thought it would be funny and no one laughed.
Oh, my God.
And then,
and then, oh, my gosh.
And then,
I'm so uncomfortable.
And so then, and so then I had to sit back down. I only did like 12 minutes. And so I'm sitting there with all these billionaires and then they're telling me why it wasn't funny. and then we're eating dessert, and then he didn't have my money. So then I had to go get money from him the next day, and I played tennis against this guy, Wyatt Coke. You got to Google him. He's absurd looking.
Oh.
And I ended up like...
The next day?
Yeah, I had to wear all white, too, so I had to go buy an all-white outfit, so I was down like $80.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
So then I
Wait, what did they pay you?
$500 for a half hour.
Jesus Christ. The fucking Coke brothers paid you $500 for...
Dude, it was the most insane gig ever. I mean, you've done some charity gigs.
Dude, I did one the other night, Seralina. Yeah. It was the best thing I've... It was my favorite gig I've ever seen.
Seralina, will you walk us through it up? I mean, I'll start it off. I got asked to do this gig. This woman DM'd me on Instagram and asked me to do this... I want to find her name or her charity. It was for this like backpack event.
backpack event.
I'm trying to think of how she got me to do it. A-U-D-G-E.
What do you think it was? High waist jeans or something?
Oh, yeah. It was called like High Water Women. I go, I thought it was a high waisted jeans company. I agreed to this. I thought you guys would like give me free subscription plan to your jeans a month club. So I walked into this event thinking that it was like
free jeans.
So literally she texted, what did she write? Hi, Nikki, huge fan. The nonprofit I'm on the junior board of, High Water Women, is holding a fundraising event February 13th in the Lower East Side, and we were hoping you would participate. The nonprofit teaches financial literacy to underprivileged teens and young adults in New York City and does a backpack drive yearly to get school supplies for underprivileged New York kids. If you could donate 15 minutes of your time, we would be forever grateful. So I just thought it was a show that I was going to be performing 15 minutes on. Even though there wasn't any indication of that. She was pretty clear.
It's a cool charity, but
a fundraising event.
To me, it sounds like there would have been some kind of like panel.
I go, hi, what do you need me to do? A set on a show? She said, hi, thank you so much for responding. Yes, a quick set would be awesome for however long you would be comfortable. Like your sets at the Comedy Cellar? She said, really, whatever you're comfortable with would go such a long way for us. I said, sure, what time? So she gave me time. Great. She followed up. It's happening. Yes. I said, 8:30. She goes, yes, I'll quickly introduce you and then you'll be on at 8:30. And I'm like, okay. I just didn't even read it. I'm like, yes, I'll see you then. So I walked in at 8:30 with Seralina, and it was just a small restaurant bar packed with like 30s somethings, 40s somethings women and
like
mostly
four
women,
men. Yeah.
And four men. And like,
it felt like a baby shower, maybe? Would that explain it?
That's a really good... It's like not a, like a birthday party.
Like a birthday... It was an intimate setting.
It felt
and
like an
Nikki
overpacked wedding reception.
And I mean, I know, like, you get recognized. I realize, like, you're famous and all, but this was like... I mean, you were God. It was awesome. It was awesome for me.
That's not how I felt at all. It's so funny that that's your
perspective. It was. You said it. It sounded like they were like still talking when you got up.
Well, they were.
In the back, they were. But at first, like the first, people were like, ah! They were screaming and like when they saw you.
Because they were all there to see me. So it was like definitely
it was really
like
sweet.
I was the main event. So they were like freaked out that I just walked in and was like standing among them, I guess. Yeah. And then she brought me on stage cold. I mean, she got up on this mic and it was just like the worst PA system. No one was listening to her. She gave like a little speech about what they do with backpacks and shit.
No jokes.
No, but that but she was really nice and everyone was so
nice. Everyone was so sweet with you.
I just was like,
what
try
is
to find a place of like, and I was so tired. I had to go on the road the next day, I think. And it was just like, it was a long fucking day. Like I had worked since 7 a.m. It was just a wild day. And I was like, I can't believe I'm doing a show for free in a situation where I'm not set up to do well. What am I doing with my time?
But you killed. It was so funny. You walked up.
But
there.
I just
there
like looked
talking.
At you, handed you my stuff and was like, I'm going to find a way to enjoy this. I have to find a way to enjoy
I thought it was amazing.
That's beautiful, dude.
Yeah.
You
and then I got up and I had one of the best sets I've ever had.
Amazing.
I have to listen back to it.
You really should.
I've been giving my assistant my sets and having her like listen and be like, will you write down anything new that I said? Because I can't remember all the new stuff that
I come
up with.
You opened it up with what was amazing. So I'm standing there. I mean, you saw, but in the back, people were just like mumbling. They were having a party. It was like a baby shower.
Yeah.
There's a party in the back. And then all of a sudden, Nikki gets up. And she's like, oh, great. Yeah, people are talking. It wasn't. And then I don't know. And at first, everyone was kind of doing your thing. And I was thinking in myself, listen, I have the utmost faith in you. I'm like, how is she going to, from this room, like nobody, it's just everyone's kind of flailing. Maybe everyone's drinking way too much. It's just like, how do you bring it in? And then I would give it less than a minute later. everyone was completely captivated. No. But it was amazing. They were just like captivated. You could hear a penny drop. It was from like this loud, rowdy baby shower. And I don't mean to put it down like that, but that's what it felt like. And then there was like four guys at the baby shower. They're like, da, 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 da. Nikki gets up there, calls everyone out. You know what it is? It's you observe, which is probably what all you comedians do, actor, you observe what's happening and you made it funny. It was amazing. It was like this, and you could hear pennies drop. It was amazing.
It was so funny because then I walked off stage and they present me with this gigantic bouquet of flowers. It was like the night before Valentine's Day. It's only the flowers I got for Valentine's Day, but I loved them. And it was a huge bouquet, and I'm just walking down.
Massive. The thing is, there was two people holding the bouquet, and it was behind the head.
And they knew I wanted to get in and get out. I mean, I was there for less than a minute before I was brought on stage. I was there for 4 seconds after I walked. I walked off stage out of the door, and they just handed me flowers and a card, and I was on my way.
Oh, you could.
Then we just laughed our way down the street, and then we had a really good dinner. It was so fun. That was a fun night.
But you walking with that bouquet, it was just killing me.
You were laughing so hard at me. Oh, so
happy. The whole moment was so funny.
It was observing. And being like, because I remember you told me that you said, like, I get paid a lot to do. Like,
oh, yeah, I got
like
there and I go, like, I cannot believe what is happening right now. I was like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't really know what this is or how in the hell. I think I was probably on, I didn't say this, but I think I was maybe on Ambien when I agreed to do this. What? Yeah. How did you get me? I get paid thousands of dollars to do this. And I just called it out.
I think stand ups probably listen to your podcast. Like what I did at the Koch brothers thing, I went right in. I should have acknowledged that I'm in a room full of billionaires and like right up top.
So hard to
it's
do.
Hard
you
to
think
do.
You're going
to
acknowledge what's going on, but you like sometimes you go out there and you're like, oh, I've got this line and this line. Then you get out there and you're just like instantly in material and you're like, whoa, what did I just do? I just jumped the gun kind of.
And there's nothing worse than like acknowledging and observing and then not getting a response. You're like, but I'm doing that right thing, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, right.
When you think you're doing the
oh,
right
yeah,
thing.
So it doesn't always go the yeah. way.
Also, the Koch brother
to.
Got killed before me talking about money.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, he destroyed.
Yeah, he's a rich guy with a lot of money.
And they were all like, I got money.
And they all want him to like them.
Yes.
So they all were super
nice,
generous
people,
with laughter.
They were nice.
Oh, that's good. How are your bunions? is the next question. This guy loves my bunions. They hurt the rest of my toes are being affected. I have now corns in between some of my toes and they just hurt so bad. And they're not grotesque, but they just hurt. And now I have these little gel sleeves that I put on my toes. And I'm like, this is where I am as a woman.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Would your bunions, if you never wore women's shoes, do women
no.
get bunions naturally?
No.
No, you're born.
It's your shoes.
It's your shoe. No, wait.
No.
I don't have bunions.
It's not hereditary.
But she doesn't have it.
Yeah, but it's like the way you walk. It's like, yeah, there's definitely a skeletal thing. But if I didn't have to wear tiny women's shoes or wore them, my feet would not look the way they
okay,
do.
Okay, so my point is why is there not, and this sounds funny, but why is there not like more bunion awareness with like younger girls?
Bunion
like, why
awareness.
Is it not a
because
thing?
It doesn't
because
matter.
It's something you can control that's hurting a lot of women.
Because there's no alternative.
No, the alternative, you don't wear.
You have surgery, right? Do people
no,
have surgery?
Yeah, they have surgery.
You
and
don't wear
like,
women's shoes. You don't wear those
yeah,
kind of shoes.
Yeah, but there's no alternative to look having cute feet with cute outfits. You can't look cute. Your leg looks so much better when you're in a high-heeled shoe. It just is a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's why there's a reason why we wear it. So if you opt out, then you don't get to look
so
cute.
So if it was worse than bunions, maybe. Bunions is just not bad enough where people
yeah,
will stop
no.
their behavior.
And it makes foot rubs feel so much better because like your feet
I
are...
I don't even mind a bunion. It just, I think it looks kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hot. Mind the look of it anymore. I really don't care. But it's just they hurt. They,
oh,
like, are causing my whole body skeletal
yeah.
issues because it fucks up your alignment. And now my other toes are, like clawing up, like, hammer toeing like this. And you can't straighten them again. And then they all, like, get weird. The joints, like, I watch all this stuff on ASMR. I watch people, like, get their fucking...
Can you do things to correct?
Yeah, you can wear gel sleeves and all that shit. Like, the things I'm doing.
Yeah.
To correct it? No. I mean, yeah, there's probably like yoga and shit you can do.
You could shave your bunion. I've heard that before.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh.
I wish
isn't that insane?
Yeah. But it'll just grow back.
But it, and it's not about the pain. The
Listen,
pain
I
is
know
still there.
Anything about bunions if you want to talk to me about the, like,
bunion
I really
awareness.
Know everything about bunions.
You
so,
should do a bit about bunions. I think it's a
I'm
very common
with
thing with women, and it's a very funny word, obviously.
Oh, my God,
bunion.
Yeah.
I'm naming
I mean,
my kid that.
It literally sounds
but the thing
like
is,
onion.
I love getting foot rubs, and I love when my feet hurt. So, like, getting my bunion rubbed feels so much more amazing than if I didn't have it. So I'm sometimes grateful for it.
Yeah, you have a sixth toe to take care of.
Yeah, it's true. That's so true.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So, it is amazing. Yeah, your feet are so perfect and
I don't
little.
Know
you have a little bit of a bunion, but it's
little
not.
Little bunion.
But it's
They're
normal.
So dry right really now.
You feet. Have the best feet, Saralina.
Oh, that's, I think my feet might be my
favorite thing about yourself?
My feature.
Yeah, no, it's not.
No, I think they, I feel like they.
I mean, they are spectacular.
Yeah, your ring toe is the hottest
like
thing
toe.
About you by far.
Yeah.
Well, that's
yeah.
sweet. That's sweet.
We've covered a lot here. This is a great podcast. You know what we're going to close out with is an explanation from Ari Findling about why he had a goddamn scale because he got back to me.
What'd he say?
So Ari Findling wrote, It was in my old office that I hadn't cleaned out, that I cleaned out and haven't brought it home yet. It's not intended to stay there. I came from there at 7 a.m. and had shows that night and didn't feel like lugging a scale around the city.
Good.
All right, Ari, thank you. That is a good excuse for having a scale at work. What?
Why
what?
Was it at his other office?
Why was, but yeah, why do you even need a scale at your office?
Yeah.
That's what we're getting to. Ari, you didn't address the issue, which is why do you need to weigh yourself at work?
Why did he
work?
Have it at the first?
Why are you weighing yourself at work? What is going on? Okay, so answer to that. And I guess we'll hear about it on the next podcast because we're at the end of the podcast. I thought you had some good answers for us. I waited to
you
read your text
that, like,
until the end.
You read that like he had a good
excuse. Yeah, I know. We actually acted like we had solved something here. God damn it, Ari. That's so funny. All right. Thank you for listening to the podcast this week. We're going to be in Minneapolis this weekend, St. Louis, also this weekend, my home city. Single tickets still available, I think, to some of the shows, or just you might be able to sit with someone.
The late
but
show at the Minneapolis.
Minneapolis has
still, but the early one is singles.
Okay, singles for Minneapolis. Late show Minneapolis. We've still got couples available, but hey, listen, buy a meet and greet. We got amazing merchandise for sale. Really, really cute shirts, tour shirts. I'm so excited about all of it. Posters that I've signed. Meet and greets you can buy. We can meet each other. Also, yeah, so go alone to shows. You know I always want you to go alone to things, and it would mean a lot to me if you went alone to my show and then you Instagrammed about how you went alone, because that means you really don't care and that you're cool and secure with yourself. I love
and
people that go alone.
Someone.
And you might meet someone else
that
goes alone.
Taste and shit.
Yeah, that's a good point. Talk to people in the line. Talk to people in the line. That's a great way to meet people. I met a really nice father and son when I went to go see Sam Harris live in line at the Wiltern. It was like, oh my God, like all these people, we all have something in common. I forgot that about going to concerts and stuff.
So I saw good. Jim Jefferies alone.
Yeah. You did?
And I made friends with the couple next to me, and we like, you're laughing like new friends. I don't know. It's nice. It's
oh,
fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, go see me alone. Andrew Collin, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks
Sarah
for
Lena Prozel, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Listen to, just while you're listening to this podcast, why don't you subscribe to Andrew's podcast, Puddles with Andrew Collin. People fucking love it. I have Puddle fans at my shows every week. That's
that
how
one
I know.
Was yelling Puddles.
Yeah, one of your wacko fans just goes, Puddles. Puddles during my set. It was so obnoxious.
I was like, that's the worst thing you can do.
No, I mean, it's psychotic. It did make me want her as a fan. I was glad I got her money and not her actual fandom. Oh, Ari's writing back. LOL. That's not an answer, Ari. Saralina, thank you for being here. You can follow her at Saralina, Saralina NYC on Instagram. And we'll see you next week. Squirt, squirt.
Hey.
Yeah, bye.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.